9 to midday, The Talking Point on SAFM. The Talking Point on SAFM.
I'm getting a sense that something is about to happen in this country. Something is moving. Slowly, yes, but yeah, eventually. I mean, I'm watching today the presidency, and I see the Minister of Health, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, and many others are launching the Health Sector Anti-Corruption Forum. And the NDPP saying that, you know, pleads with the president to capacitate the hawks as well. That's what they are asking for. But, you know, some of the things that the president announced last year or early this year are beginning to happen. For instance, in February, he announced the tribunal, the Special Investigative Unit Tribunal. It starts its work today. And if you look back to the Presidential Health Summit 2018 Compact, one of the issues was the establishment of the Health Sector Anti-Corruption Forum. It's being launched today. I'm hoping that, you know, all the summits that we have, for instance, the Investment Summit and the Job Summit and so on, will begin to bear fruit. We will see those things happening now. But I'm getting a sense that, you know, much as we might say that, you know, the president is moving slowly and so on, something is happening. This forum, this one in particular, in the tribunal, I'm telling you, you're going to see people facing the music. All those people who've stolen money from us will face the music. That's just my feeling. I don't know how you feel about it. Izakhom, I'm not too sure how you feel about what is happening in the country. What do you tell the rest of the continent when you do your Spotlight Africa? Surely South Africa takes a big part of your reportage there. And you highlight some of the things that are happening in this country. Politically, what do you tell them? Economically, are we on the right path? Where are we going?
Really, when I talk to them, I don't tell them anything. I just sort of analyze the country and the place that it is. And in fact, it's in a tight corner, you know. It's an impasse. And yeah. The issues that need to be solved, and those things cannot be solved straight away. You've got a very big 40% rural population, black population, which is not fused into the economy. And then you've got the comrades, you know, the appointees, you know, they cannot, not too happy with the BEE, so they've gone the other way to enrich themselves. In other words, they call it corruption. Yeah, so basically that is a problem, and it's a problem basically of underdevelopment. Things are not going forward. Yeah, things are not going forward. The economy is not growing, so people are empowering themselves, you know.
Okay.
But I just want to know if the tribunal is legal, you know, because with tribunals, if they were to be formed, I don't think that it ought to take more than parliament, I suppose, to actually form a tribunal. Has it been passed by parliament?
Yeah. No. Okay. So we'll ask those. I mean, if the justice minister says it starts work today, so it means that yeah, parliament has. So let's go now and look at the Central African Republic on our focus on Africa today, Isaac. Very interesting indeed, because yesterday we reported that Sudan's transitional government has ordered the immediate closure of the nation's borders with Libya, Central African Republic, and other countries as well. But Central African Republic. And we started thinking, what is it about the Central African Republic that can make Sudan to want to close that border? And we spoke to the ambassador, Sudan's ambassador to South Africa, and he said to us, is the issue of criminality. There's a lot of unregistered cars that are moving in and out, human trafficking and all those things, conflict and arms and all those things. Then we thought, you know what, let's talk about the Central African Republic. Try to get to understand this country. I mean, the president there, when he was talking at the UN General Assembly, said that his country remains fragile despite progress on the peace deal. Remember also South African soldiers who died there protecting what? Who? Still not clear. Talk to us about the Central African Republic.
Okay. Well, Central, I don't know where I should start, whether I should actually answer what you're talking about, the Central African Republic and closing of the borders. But basically, closing of the borders of the Central African Republic, that is actually been done at the behest of the European Union. because Sudan is one of the gateways of migrants going to Libya, and from Libya onwards to Europe. In fact, the Sudanese government, they were given about 200 million euros by the EU to actually boost their, to upgrade their security forces so they could actually stop this migration of people, of Africans, into Libya. And I think now that the new government is there, they're trying to get more money from the EU. They are trying to be seen to be doing something to actually stop this migration. But as far as the arms is concerned, that is true. Arms are flowing in, but the way they are flowing, they're not flowing from Sudan, from CAR to Sudan, but it's the other way. They're flowing from Sudan into the CAR.
Mm.
But when you come to the Central African Republic, now you've got to look at Central African Republic historically and to understand where it is now and how the whole place has been ruled. The Central African Republic, it was a French colony, and under the French colony, it was part of a bigger French colony of the French Equatorial Africa. But the Central African Republic, when it was colonized by the French, it was actually colonized in a very funny way. The French took their cue from King Leopold I of Belgium, with his Congo estate, with his Congo Republic, or not even Republic, his Congo property, private property, and they turned Central African Republic into what they call a concessionary colony. Now, concessionary colony is a wonderful colony. One of the many types of colonies that they had, their plantation colonies and things like that. A concessionary colony, it was actually whereby the colonial state, that was France, it actually gives huge tracts of that country, of the colony. In fact, these are almost regions to individuals or to private companies.
Okay, so hold it right there on the concessionary colony, because it's very interesting. Now you bring in France, there was Belgium as well, and I'm just looking at these the colonial masters, two of them working together or working against each other. We'll find out more. We're in conversation with Izakhomo on Focus on Africa.
Call Bongi now on 0891-104-207.
This is the Focus on Africa, and Izakhomo is my guest here. He is a producer of Spotlight Africa on our sister channel, Channel Africa. So we were talking about concessionary colonies. We were talking about people getting huge tracts of land and all other things. But I was then intrigued by Belgium and France.
Yeah. Belgium was actually sort of ruling. King Leopold of Belgium was actually, he had this big colony, which is the Belgian Congo, which is a neighbor of the CAR. And the French, they got the cue from their neighbor, the King Leopold, the first Congo colony. So that's where they actually had this concessionary form of concessionary colony. And these tracts of land were given to individual companies and also to individuals. Yeah. But now what that actually said, that these companies, when they had to actually sort of run the thing on a capitalist manner, they actually instilled forced labor.
Mm.
And that is the history of CAR. There was a lot of forced labor. And just like the CIR, there was a lot of atrocities which took place. People like Bokassa, they are people who actually saw their fathers being beaten to death in front of their eyes, for small misdemeanors against the French. And there are others. There's another leader called Gumba, whose father was also beaten to death. And there's another person who saw his mother being beaten to death.
Mm.
Yeah, so that was the French rule of the CIR. But that actually produced people like Bokassa. But going forward, going towards independence after the post-Second World War, CAR produced a very, very important leader and a very progressive leader, nationalist by the name of Buganda. Buganda, he did not agree to de Gaulle's plan of having a French Commonwealth. He wanted total independence, just as Sekou Touré wanted, and also Modibo Keita. It was the three of them. But Buganda, again, he said that he wanted to have a very big Central African Republic, which was to consist of the countries of the French Equatorial, French Equatorial Africa, which was Chad, Gabon, CAR itself, Congo-Brazzaville, and also the Belgian Congo, Rwanda, Burundi, and Angola. He wanted to have a Latin country. Now, these were the forerunners of the African unity. That's why I said this country should be called Central Africa. But going towards independence, the man was sabotaged. In fact, he was killed. Yeah, he died in an air crash. Now, when they investigated that air crash, later they found that they found a trace of explosives. Yeah, his plane was blown out of the air. And the finger was pointing at the French, Secret Service and the local French business people of the CAR. But that's the history of the CAR going forward. But we find that the French, before independence, they actually had a military agreement with the CAR, a thing which Buganda did not want, but that stayed on. But we find that after Buganda, the ruler who came there was a gentleman by the name of Dako. He was a favorite of the French. The person who was actually contending for that post was very close to Buganda, was called Gumba. Now the French actually came and arrested Gumba and they jailed him. Now you can find that the French were interfering in the politics of CAR. Gumba was arrested and they allowed Dako, who was a French puppet, to come and take over power. Now, with Dako going forward, he made a mistake of getting close to the Chinese. And with that, the French actually organized a coup against him and they got in Bokassa.
Okay. Yeah. So it is surrounded by Chad to the north, and then there is the Democratic Republic of the Congo to the south, Sudan to the east. Talk to us about that and the geographical location and the region itself and the instability in the region.
Well, when you talk of the region, as you said, that it's surrounded by what do you call the Congo? The Congo DRC to the south. To the east, you've got the other Congo, Congo Brazzaville. You've got Cameroon. And then you've also got Chad to the north. You've got South Sudan to the east. You've got Sudan to the north. Yeah. So that is actually, so those are the neighbors. But the country is actually equatorial. I mean, the southern part of it is actually equatorial forest. And there's a lot of rivers. And it's got also part of the Congo River, and that gives it a very high potential of hydropower. But the northeast and the north, it actually gets drier going towards the border with southern Darfur.
Yes.
Yeah. And the people there into southern Darfur, there are people called the Fatit, and they're Muslims. Yeah, there's a minority of Muslims, if you want to talk about that stability. And also going towards Chad, you've also got Muslims there, and you've also got some Fulanis. Now, these ones, they've actually sort of moved into the country through immigration, through time. But now they've become a very important political figure. But now, if you want to look at the stability of the country and you want to jump the history of the country and the French interference, we can see that Bokassa was put there by the French and was removed by the French, and other leaders who came to take over him, they brought back Dako. But eventually we get a gentleman by the name of Bozize. I think time is running. Let's get to Bozize. Bozize was basically a military man, but he actually sort of became, he actually started ruling thing through being elected. Yeah, he was elected.
Yeah.
But then with Bozize, along the way, he actually tried to open up Central African Republic to other powers other than the French, because the French, they still wanted to run the country as a considerate country. And not only that, they wanted to monopolize the uranium. That was a big thing, which Central African Republic has got. It's got diamonds. Yeah. So he brought in the Chinese. Now, when he brought in the Chinese, the Chinese went into exploration, oil exploration. But before that, he invited the French to come in. But then he told the French that they've got to get a 50-50 deal on the oil. The French refused. The French, normally they take about 40%. But the Chinese now, they've got an area, they found out an area in the northwest of the country where there is a huge deposit of oil.
Mm.
Yeah. And they also brought in the Indians who went into hydroelectric. Yeah. And then again, I think the Indians also went into connectivity. Now that did not bode well with the French. So you find that when that was going on, with the where the Seleka Rebellion took place.
Yes.
Now, with the Seleka Rebellion took place, there was been a rebellion before then, and an instability. There had been civil wars. And through the AOU, that's something people don't understand. Now, through the AOU, South Africa was given the task of helping the CAR to reform its armed forces. So when South Africa took its people, its army, to the CAR, they did not go there to look after Bozizé or to look after South African interests, because South African mining interests had gone into the CAR after diamonds, as it was been said in by some parties within parliament. But they'd gone there at the request of the AU to go and train and to establish the army, the CAR army. Now, at that time, that's when the rebellion, the Seleka Rebellion, took place. Now, with the Seleka Rebellion, you find that there are military experts who say that the Seleka Rebellion, it was a rebellion which had a foreign hand, because the Seleka Rebellion took place at a time when there were heavy rains, and that country does not have very good infrastructure. But the advance of the Seleka Rebellion was too fast. It was like a modern army. They say that army could only go forward by being supplied logistically from the air.
From the air.
Yeah. And then it has transpired
that
Seleka army was actually being supplied by the French on their way down south. And not only that, the army, it was a ragtag army, but it was highly skilled. They had Chadian army officers were with the Seleka army. So basically the Seleka army, it was actually aided and abetted by the French to come and overthrow Bozizé. And the thing that made Bozizé being overthrown, it is the introduction of the Chinese in the oil business, the Indians and other non-French interests. So now you find that the French, they still got this monopoly of the CAR.
I see the incumbent president now, President Teodoro, is open to the West as well. In fact, he was embraced in the U.S. He's been there a couple of times. He was there at the UN General Assembly now, but he was there even in April. So how does then that shift the political dynamics?
No, Teodoro is a very important leader. In fact, he was a minister of finance at one time under Bozizé. And they say that when he used to go out on his official trips, when he used to come back, he used to declare his expenditures to the last penny, to the last franc, and return it to the government. He's upright. That's one thing. Now, when Teodoro took over, the first thing that he said that all agreements signed by parties before his coming to power will be honored. Therefore, the Chinese agreements are still there, the Indians and all others. And he says he's opening the CAR to the world. Now, that, again, does not bode well with the French. But, again, you find that what Teodoro did, he's actually tried to minimize the French or the NATO influence by actually inviting the Russians. He has actually signed military agreements for supply of equipment from the Russians. And at the same time, as you say, that to level things off, he has gone to the West to get other countries there. But basically, he's being cautious in trying to break away from the French hold. And he's been very cautious about that and very transparent. And people are seeing that, how long will he last? And you can find that now with the agreement which has been signed now to actually have a government of national unity with the rebels, the Seleka rebels and everything else, they did sign a very good agreement in Sudan. But when it comes to the implementation, the Seleka rebels are trying to negate. And that negation of the Seleka rebels, it's been said, it's at the instigation of the French.
So South African armed forces are deployed there at the invitation of the African Union.
But when we get there,
and when the peace agreement is signed between Bozizé and the Seleka in 2013, I think it was, or thereabout, so things are okay. We're supposed to pull out as South Africans.
No, we're not supposed to pull out. In fact, there was no peace agreement signed between Seleka and Bozizé. Bozizé just had to run for it.
Yeah,
they had to run for it. And when the Seleka rebels got into Bangui, they really attacked the South Africans. The French were there at the airport, and they controlled the airport. The Seleka had nothing to do with the French, and the French had nothing to do with the South Africans. Yeah, the French just watched, and they thought that the South Africans would be annihilated. But of course, we suffered very heavily. Yeah. And that's the thing which the present CR government is very thankful for South Africa. And they really want South Africa to get in there because they've got a lot of mining potential, especially in gold, diamond, iron ore. And they're really inviting South African interests and business to go to the CAR.
So,
but Bozizé had to run away.
And Bozizé had to run away, but Bozizé also had to fire Todera at that particular time because of the pact that they needed to have another prime minister, so they couldn't have him at that point.
It was not Todera. When they came to actually sort of having an agreement,
yes,
Bozizé was not there.
Yeah.
Now, the person who was prime minister then, it is the present ambassador, the present CAR ambassador to South Africa.
Okay.
Nzaboyepe.
Okay.
Yeah. Honorable His Excellency Nzaboyepe. Nzaboyepe was the prime minister
at that time.
Yeah, he did not even, was not fired. He stepped down.
Okay.
To give that room to Seleka, a Muslim.
Yes.
Because the Seleka, it actually represented a Muslim interest, the Fatid. Yeah. So he actually stepped down, and after stepping down, he was made ambassador to South Africa, and he's right here in Pretoria. And if people want to know the history of the thing, they should go and see Honorable Nzapayeka. He was the prime minister, and from a prime minister to come to ambassador, and he's stepping down, but he's comfortable with it. And before being prime minister, he was also the assistant, I think, president or chairman of the Central African Bank.
Mm.
They've got a regional group of the Central African countries. And that group, funny enough, people do not know, it's been driven by capital or finance, which comes from Equatorial Guinea. Equatorial Guinea has invested a lot in the region. So even if you go and talk to Ambassador Nzapayeka today and you talk about Equatorial Guinea, about how any negativity, says, yeah, but you've got to be careful, because that country is actually pushing the region.
Mm.
Even the schools that they've built, the schools, we find that people from that kind of part of the Central African countries, like Cameroon, Gabon, they go to Equatorial Guinea for free education. Yeah, so that's the thing that people do not know about Central Africa and about the African countries.
So where is the CAR today?
Well, CAR today, it is having its problems, but it's on its going. I mean, they're solving their problems. As I said, that they've got this agreement, which has got to be signed, which was signed, and it's got to be implemented. But there are certain elements of the Seleka rebels who are pulling their legs. They're coming up with excuses of representativity and things like that. But Todera is actually accommodating them, you know, giving them the space that they need. So they're just to come and exhaust their complaints. It should not be seen to be a stumbling block to the peace process. Yeah. But then we find that there's a lot of outside interference in the peace process of Central African Republic. And of course, that the people who are actually interfering, it is French interest. The French soldiers are there, sort of as peacekeepers. But then, according to a friend of mine who was working for OCHA, that's the United Nations group which looks after humanitarian issues, he said, where you find the French military deployed in Central Africa, it is where you've got the diamonds and the diamond and the uranium deposits. Ah. So it is they're strategically there to look after their own interests, not to look after peace.
we shall do it again next Tuesday. Zakhomo, thank you very much for coming through on Focus on Africa. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is the Talking Point here on SFM 104 to 107, 11 o'clock now. Time for the news. Utsile Sako.